Last week on Ask an Atheist, dun dun dun, I had people join me in the studio, as you do, and the people joining me in the studio were Mike and Rebecca. This week, joining me in the studio is Mike and Rebecca. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
How are you doing, Mike Warbington? And Becca Vitzman, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, I've always wanted to start a show of, I always want to start an episode of Ask an Atheist with last week on Ask an Atheist. You know, it's a nice dramatic, but then it always ended like, I'm having Mike Gillis's baby or something like
dramatic
that.
Dramatic recap.
Yeah, I shouldn't have said that, should I? We both know how the internet works, and we know what's going to happen now. Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. Go ahead and give us a call. Yes, that's our voicemail number, but also it is now our call-in number. And it has been a very, very strange week in news, indeed. And we're going to start off with some stuff that everybody knows how much I like. Well, okay, like. Here is my problem. Every time I talk about North Korea, North Korea is goofy and crazy and awesome, but terrifying and torturous in the literal sense of the word, and it starves people. You know, I find it such a kooky little... If it were a kid's television show, I would love it unabashedly.
You say like, but it sounds like you mean it's a morbid kind of fascination.
Yeah, yeah. But like I said, if it was a television show, I'd watch it. But now that I know that people are actually dying, it always kind of tempers it a little bit. However... News agencies around the world are reporting that North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un has condemned a new movie from Seth Rogen and James Franco as a blatant act of terrorism and war, but a little digging has revealed that this story may have been blown out of proportion. The story actually seems to have originated with a conversation that The Telegraph had with executive director of the Center for North Korea U.S. Peace, based in Tokyo. Possibly in response to the film, North Korea has conducted a missile test off its coast, launching two missiles. James Franco and Seth Rogen remain unharmed. This is something that we talk about North Korea a lot. It's really, you know, you can give a lot of heat to modern journalism for not getting their sources right, for not following up on news. You know, the internet has kind of made journalism a little too easy to do, and people screw up a little more than they should. North Korea, I think, is the great exception. Because that sounds exactly like something that would happen. I mean, doesn't it?
It doesn't trigger any smell test kind
right,
of response.
Right, well, yeah, you've like, run your gut check on it, and you're like, yeah, oh, yep, yep, that sounds true.
That sounds like something he'd say.
It kind of works with my gut check specifically because Kim Jong-il, this guy's dad, was a huge film nut and believed in the propaganda importance of film. So it wouldn't surprise me that the North Korean government is up on films being made about it. I'm pretty sure they've all seen the Juche idea or something like that. But... but then if they were to like officially release that news, I guess they would have to do it on KCNA so North Koreans would see it. And you can't be talking about external media to North Koreans, you know? I mean,
and just because it did come from this guy talking to the Telegraph doesn't mean that he's not offended.
Right.
Because <either. laughs> that could still be true. It's just not confirmed in any way.
Yeah, but I don't think we're going to see the headline Seth Rogen starts the Second Korean War anytime soon. I mean...
Well, we did see that headline.
Yeah.
We did.
But it's...
I mean, in actuality.
Right.
Not with the Curdo question on the end of it, right?
Right.
Did Seth Rogen? No. The answer is no.
No.
Yeah, no. But it's not actually going to happen. But it really... Yeah, it's... This is where our gut checks fail us. And there's a little bit about skepticism here.
You know,
you can't always just... The smell test is a... We talk about it in the skepticism community as a very important tool because it's sort of a... You know, it's an analog sense. It goes through...
You say dig deeper.
Dig deeper. It clues you in. This is a time when the smell test fails.
Kind of failed a lot of people.
Yeah, you have to go by the data because there have been things that have been reported about North Korea and I go, nah, no way. And then KCNA starts talking about it. And I'm like, oh, well, I guess I was wrong about that. So...
Well, I think it's funny. We criticize North Korea so much for having the control over the media and dictating the message to their people about what is and what isn't true.
Yeah.
And when a story like this comes along, we kind of look at it. It passes the smell test for us, and we kind of accept it and laugh about it and report on it without really doing the due diligence that we condemn the North Koreans for not doing.
Well, there's one thing I do whenever I'm trying to, you know, put something on the wiki for Ask an Atheist, I won't just go with the first source that I find. I follow their links. I try to find, where did this come from? I want to use that one. Wherever it originally came from. That's what I want to use. Because, you know, I just don't know. I don't know what they're talking about.
Well, there was a lot of stories that had attributed that quote directly to Kim Jong-un, but then you follow it, and it's from somebody else entirely.
And I think it's an important thing to just realize and admit that you're probably going to fail a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know that we've ever had to issue a correction on the air. Maybe. It seems like something we'd have to do, but I know there have been stories that we put in show notes that end up being, you know, that end up being wrong.
Debunked.
Like yeah, debunked. Or... And I'm like, oh, wow, I'm good. Wow, dodged a bullet there. We didn't do that story. And that's something I think we need to pay attention to, is we shouldn't ask for, don't demand perfection from yourself, but demand due diligence. Focus on the due diligence, and don't, you know, beat yourself up when you screw up, because you are. This is the way it's going to happen. And from news of the weird to news of the not so great, Republican Governor Mary Fallon has won her bid for re-election this past week in Oklahoma. Fallon gained national attention several times while in office, most notably in the atheist community for blocking the entire National Guard of Oklahoma from receiving benefits and basic federal rights so that she could ensure the state did not provide benefits to gay spouses. Separately, when Oklahomans were facing a drought, the governor encouraged them to help bring it to an end by praying for rain. Fallon soared to victory with 75% of the vote. So this, Becca, this is your old stomping ground. Gosh. So
it's embarrassing. I'm red in the cheeks. You know, I don't even live there anymore, and I'm not from there. But I'm identified nationally, internationally now as that girl from Oklahoma, and it's just like, oh, this pains me. But it's important to note that she won by a 15% higher margin than she did on her last time for election. I mean, it's just, it pains me, like. When you think about the idea of taking rights away from everyone,
yeah,
so that you don't have to give rights to gay spouses, it's just shocking.
The very definition of,
and everybody's like,
your nose,
pat her on the back. That's a great idea. Like,
the ultimate in taking your ball and
going home. Or another thing, you know, farmers in the fields need rain for their crops so that they can live, and she's just like, well, Oklahomans, let's all do a rain dance to the sky god, as a meaningful...
Let's not worry about global warming. Let's pray for rain.
Yeah.
This sort of thing sells. I mean, apparently in Oklahoma, this is one of the things that if you would ask me about it when I started asking atheists, I go, no way, nah, nobody would vote for that kind of person. And I'm a much more bitter man now, I guess, as far as politics goes, because you knew this was going to happen. There's one of the biggest responses to the, you know, one of the most, I think, vociferous counter movements to the atheism movement can be seen in Oklahoma. We keep hearing about stuff in Oklahoma, like that time when Camp Quest Oklahoma had a dinner, and halfway through they're like, oh wait, you guys are atheists, yeah, get out of here, we're not doing this.
I guess I should just, it's embarrassing. I feel bad because there are so many atheists there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a very tight-knit community out there, and they all just, you know, weep. Mm-hmm. Because there's nothing they can do. I mean, 75%, that's a major, major, major win.
That's a huge, that's an unheard of margin.
And what she ran on, her platform was family values.
Yeah, of course.
And she's outspoken about, you know, she had a ban on same-sex marriages. It got thrown out, but now it's back in court. And
yeah,
it's just, she's that person.
Well, I'm going to keep you happy by continuing to talk about Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
An Oklahoma congressional candidate who didn't come to such an easy victory was Tim Murray. Murray believes his opponent, Representative Frank Lucas, did not qualify for office because he was hanged by a Ukrainian world court in January of 2011 and has been replaced by a body double. Representative Lucas has commented, it comes quite a shock to read that you aren't you. I
love this story.
I love these
too.
Stories. Yeah.
I'm glad he lost.
I don't know.
He seems like a crazy man.
Well, look
who's like, oh, it's a body double. I'm recalling this vote.
Look who won, though. This guy lost, but look at the winners.
Yeah.
Not so much better. At a certain point, you're looking at things. You're looking at the news. You're reading the newspaper, and you're like, bring the apocalypse. And you want these people in. You know, it's like, what more damage?
This guy in office could have been so much fun.
Yeah. What more damage could this guy have done compared to the governor, compared to Mary Fallon?
Yeah.
Is he gonna, is he gonna take away rights? Well, she's already done that.
I mean,
is she gonna cut off benefits? Well, he's already, you know, she's already done that. But what she won't do is say things like, "I will never use artificial intelligence lookalike to voice what the representative's office is doing, nor own a robot lookalike. The world knows the truth, and we must always share the truth."
We are talking about in the previous story the smell test, and yeah. This is one where honestly the first time I read it I thought it was something from The Onion.
Yeah.
And when you do your diligence and you look it up, these are statements.
It's a press release.
It's a press release from the guy's own website.
Yeah. Some things you really have to go to the original source, like you were talking about. And I'm actually on his webpage right now. And like the third paragraph down, Representative Frank Lucas and a few other Oklahoma and other states' congressional members were depicted as being executed by the World Court on or about January 11, 2011 in southern Ukraine. On television, they were depicted as being executed by the hanging about the neck until death on a white stage in front of witnesses. Other now current members of Congress have shared these facts on television also.
Maybe it was body double.
We know that it is possible to look like artificial or man-made replacements. However, Representative Lucas was not eligible to serve as a congressional member at that time. The world knows the truth, and we must always display and communicate the truth. I love these things. I love this stuff. How can I, you know, this goes well beyond my my interest in the atheism community. I've always loved kooky people. I always have.
I'm wondering if now that this has come to light after the election, what his supporters are thinking to themselves, like the people who went out to vote, who may not have known, oh, he's kind of like a crazy whack job.
I mean, is this Fisher-Price Reptoids? I mean, is this sort of like the gateway drug into that conspiracy where you think people have been replaced by lizard men from Beta Reticula?
I don't know. I wonder how many people believe him. That's what scares me.
Oh, I guarantee you. Might be people who are like, that passes the gut check. Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense. It all makes sense now.
I supported him for a reason. I knew that guy didn't exist.
I knew there was something fishy about that robot guy.
Yeah. Oh, man. There was an old, this is an old story, between me and my friend Jason in Chicago, where we thought that Al Gore might have been a robot sent back in time.
I don't think you were alone.
By us. Like, we thought we would do it. Because if you are going to send a robot politician back in time to save the world or whatever, you would, and you're a computer programmer, you'd give him a kind of a cheap name, kind of a joke name, like Al Gore. Algorithm. Yeah. That's like, yeah, we would totally do that. And so I had this idea, that Fred, there's a science fiction author by the name of Fred Pohl, from my hometown, in fact. And he wrote about in Mars Plus about like the computer network was gaining sentience, and they had this way where you could get a computer to do what you want because it was part of a psychological experiment they were conducting on the human race. If you said Mephisto and then asked them to do something, they would go, okay. And so I figured if I wanted to test if Al Gore was a robot and a robot that I made, I probably would put that in because that's the kind of guy I am. So I'd get close to Al Gore and I'd say, Mephisto, sneeze. And if he did, then I'd know.
Then you'd know.
Now you need to try it.
Yeah. So I'm suggesting that this guy, whatever his name is, Timothy Murray, give that a shot. Just go up to people and go, Mephisto, sneeze, and see what they do. I think it would be fun.
At some point, somebody's going to sneeze.
Yeah.
And he's going to feel like he has total control of
it. Yeah, I've already thrown the baby out with the bathwater here. Like I said, at some point, when you've got people who are taking away the rights of others just so that they can continue to pretend that this is a Christian nation, kooky people like this guy might actually be a step up. I don't know. You know, because
you question how effective he would be at taking away other people's rights.
He wouldn't get much less legislation passed, at least, which is better than getting bans on.
Well, it's like you had all those people coming out of the woodwork anytime there's a government scandal saying, well, there's no, you know, there's a government scandal, which means no government is happening, which means, okay, yay. Like, maybe that's, you know, is this preferable to somebody who thinks gay people are infected with demons? It's a question.
That's a question.
I think six in one hand.
I think sometimes I don't, and sometimes I do. I don't know where to go with this. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. We're going to go into a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about whack jobs more locally.
am a Nigerian prince, and I want to hide a bajillion dollars in your locker.
Wow, a bajillion dollars?
All I need is your lunch money.
What a great deal. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because you want to believe something doesn't mean you should. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled, week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an essential part of your business marketing, but that's not all. Want VoIP? We've got it, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to make your business communications succeed effortlessly. At Tacoma Telematics, we're committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. And next week, the Humanists of Washington, along with Seattle Atheists, welcomes freethinkers from around the Puget Sound as we celebrate Independence Day with a potluck picnic in Seattle's Ravenna Park on July 4th. The family-friendly event will start around 1 p.m. and run till 5:30. Bring lawn games, blankets, things to grill, and a dish to share. The 4th of July picnic is one... Is one I really like. It's one of my favorite local things going on.
I'm excited.
On.
Yeah. I didn't even know that this was coming up, and I was thinking to myself, man, we're going to do nothing for July 4th.
Oh, yeah,
this is going to be
your first year for that.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, so we have a couple people we have to thank also. We'd like to thank Fernando from Upland, California, and Rick from Elma, Washington, for helping keep the lights on with Peggy's challenge.
Thanks, you guys.
Yeah, thanks. If you'd like to help keep the lights on, you can go to askanatheist.tv, click on the yellow button, and it'll take you right to our PayPal page. Every dollar you give us goes straight to Ask an Atheist Production, the thing that you're listening to now. So we like to talk about, I mean, there's a feeling, especially here in the Pacific Northwest, that all the kooks and crazies are over there, or they're all of one political party. Boy, I get that a lot.
Well, they bubble up a lot.
Yeah, they bubble up everywhere. And here in my backyard, for the past month, Faircrest residents John Mishko and David Stemp, both chiropractors, have brought an anti-fluoridation campaign to Faircrest City Council, demanding that the small city of 6,500 near Tacoma quit adding fluoride to the municipal water supply. They contend that fluoride has no public benefits. Other residents have testified that fluoride has harmful effects. One resident, whose family only consumes bottled water, won't plant a garden because they'd have to water it with fluoridated water. The council will vote on the matter at their August 12th meeting. Yeah. Really, you have to be people here in the Pacific Northwest, and I had this conversation with somebody on Facebook. There's this sense that people have that these pseudoscience, these anti-vax people, the anti-fluoridation people, tend to be crazy libertarian conservative types in their bunkers and da, da, da. That's not how it works here in the Pacific Northwest. Here in the Pacific Northwest, they tend to be
the far left, farthest left.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's true about these guys, but I mean, people talk about this town as being kind of a blue town, but there's still kookiness going on.
Right, there's plenty of blue kookiness.
Yeah, yeah, and we've done an episode on fluoride. Fluoride, the peer-reviewed evidence, the actual evidence, the evidence that isn't about how crack in your back causes leprosy. It actually shows clear benefits to fluoride in the water.
And I'm pretty sure you had said chiropractors.
Yes. So. Well, I guess if their stock and trade is pseudoscience. So yeah. I wonder if there's anybody around here.
Well, what are they reading? Where are they getting their information from? You know,
that's true.
They're probably getting it from the same place.
I don't know, alternative
blogs,
medicine, journals. And...
given that we're local, I'm kind of hoping somebody in the Firkrest area may call in and give us a backstory. 206-420-0997. I may actually track someone down to talk about this, too. The meeting is going to be at August 12th, so we've got some time to talk about this, but... Yeah, once again, I mean, Pierce County, at the episode of Ask an Atheist we did, Pierce County is actually fairly good about water fluoridation, not a lot of kookiness going on, but here it starts. This is usually how it begins. I don't know. Anyway, a New York federal judge rules that schools may bar unvaccinated kids. Striking a blow against anti-vaxxers, a federal judge in New York has issued a ruling against three families claiming that their religious rights had been violated when their unvaccinated children were barred from attending class. Judge William Kuntz ruled that parents' constitutional right to religious freedom does not outweigh the government's right to protect the public health. The ruling didn't address the right to exemptions, just the school's right to require them as a condition for attendance.
This makes me want to give this guy a big old hug. He's protecting my child.
He deserves a high five.
Yeah. Thanks, guy. But I mean, seriously, you know, your religious preferences don't have anything to say about whether or not you can go and potentially kill other people with disease.
Right.
You know, it's like saying it's totally fine if somebody just kind of wields a knife and maybe might stab somebody. Somebody might get hurt, but whatever. It's totally fine.
It's my religious preference to wear clothing that has knives on the outside of my clothes. Right. And I'm just going to wear that to school.
I'm just going to wear it and it's going to be okay. It's my religious right. I don't think that they think they're harming people whenever they make these decisions or potentially doing something that could be deadly.
I kind of wonder if the wave has crested on anti-vaccination. I mean, it's still out there, and there's still
the whooping cough thing is going on in California right now.
Yeah.
There's an outbreak. It's pretty major.
But
and it's,
you would expect that sort of thing if there was a period of people not being vaccinated. Then for a while afterwards, you would expect continued exposures. But I'm wondering from a social perspective, and you as a parent might have a better view of this than I.
From a greater public opinion kind of perspective.
I am a parent who only frequents atheist blogs, and they are just like anti-vaxxers are evil. So I'm luckily a little bit sheltered from the naturalist crowd. I was in the naturalist group, and I was always shocked at the kind of posts that that's why I left it, because they'd say, hey, I'm very, very sick. I really don't want to take any medicine or do anything that, scientifically has been proven.
Mm-hmm.
So give me some of your kooky recipes, and then they wouldn't work, and they'd say, well, that one didn't work out.
Kooky recipes that could potentially even do harm. Some people would prefer over something that's from a pharmacy.
Yeah.
And so I just left that group. I was like, well, I'm not getting anything from here.
Well, one of the things that I keep hearing, and I do get these. There are people in my social media sphere who are naturalists or whatever, and every now and again, this just goes back to basically a fear of chemicals.
Chemicals.
Like these stupid, I wish these people would spend less time on graphic arts and more time on actually reading studies, because their graphic arts are great. The production values are usually pretty good. But
it makes it look convincing.
Yeah. And but that's the thing. They want to convince you that they're already sure they're right, no matter what scientist or what anybody says. They just need to convince you. So they don't study the evidence. They don't care about the evidence. They already have the answer.
And it's emotional.
Yeah.
It's a very emotional.
Well, it's because you're talking about people's kids, and people don't get any more emotional than they do about their kids.
That's true. But even for, like, food stuff, too. Yeah. And the thing is, they're interested in selling you on something. They're not interested in convincing you that something is bad. I think convincing you that something is bad is part of it, but...
Well, I think also convincing themselves. If they can bring you on board, that makes their numbers stronger, and they don't have to question the thing they've already accepted without proof.
Well, I would...
Evidence.
I would go... They're already there. They don't need other people. I mean, this is the nature of dogma.
I actually do think that they do. But from the ones that I've ever run into who have finally pulled themselves away, they've admitted that it felt good whenever they bring other people on board. They're just like, yeah.
It must be right, because I'm convincing all these other people.
Right. Yeah.
That's true.
Gut check together. Like,
I could see that. But
camaraderie.
But what I love is they got this picture of a strawberry, and they go, contains strawberry. And then this other strawberry contains all these chemicals. Except those chemicals are also in the other strawberry. Chemicals... You are chemicals. Everything is
this
chemicals.
Glass of water in front of me is chemicals.
Yeah. I really don't understand this chemophobia thing. And the reason I don't understand it is I have no conceptualization of what they think the universe looks like.
I think a lot of it, maybe not a lot of it, but at least some of it comes from different things from the 50s, like people being sprayed with DDT, and they're like, oh my gosh, look what chemicals did to our children, you know?
But you know
it comes from a place of, like, we were talking about skepticism earlier, it comes from a kind of backward sense of skepticism, where, like, I don't understand this thing, therefore I'm going to be, you know, wary of it and skeptical of it. I don't understand what these chemicals are or what they do, so I don't want them in my water.
And I feel okay with that.
I don't want these vaccines because I'm not sure what they are.
Well, see, I'm okay with... I'm sorry. It's my train of thought. I feel skeptical up until there's evidence, and there's evidence!
Right.
There's evidence already here, and it's just like, it's not scary. Well, look at the evidence. It's here. It's not like they're just sticking something in there.
Stop skepticism and then make their decision, and they don't look at the evidence.
Well, right. You have these estrogens that they're putting in bottles and plastics, and there's evidence against that. Oh, that chemical is bad.
Right.
And so you try to stay away from that bad chemical, you know? But they just say, all chemicals bad. If it has chemicals, then it's just bad.
Well, what I don't get is like with DDT and thalidomide and stuff like that, it was science that came up with that stuff, but it was further science that made people realize it was bad and how it was bad and how they could avoid it. And it's like they see the one, but they don't see the other. But my question about how they see the universe is actually a little bit lower level than that. What do they think stuff is made out of? Like, that's really my question. If they say this strawberry has chemicals and this strawberry does not, what do they think,
I think things are made out of?
I
think man-made, synthetic might be the scary word. Oh my gosh, it's synthetic.
Yeah.
Man-made it, therefore. That's the general thing that I see.
Man-made the house you're living in, too.
Right.
You should be living under a tree.
But that even extends to stuff that's man-made, like furniture and I've seen this and sheets and clothing.
Well, they'll buy that now. Organic clothing.
So I don't think
they do.
It's absolutely
crazy. And
they
charge like double or triple the price of a normal t-shirt.
Have we all seen the labels going around for organic sea salt?
I've seen the gluten-free salt.
Yeah, the gluten-free salt. Yeah. But that's, you know, so I don't think it's just man-made. I kind of wonder what they think things are made out of. Like, is there good matter and evil matter? I mean, is there...
It'd be interesting to see the demographics of the people who buy it.
Yeah.
You know, who really buy into that. How strong is their scientific background in general? I can't imagine it would be very high, but I just don't know.
My fear is that they just don't think of it. That they don't have, just never, you know, they're going to challenge everybody in the universe, and everybody in the world, that the things that allow our society to not starve and die cold and diseased in a hole.
With tooth decay.
Yeah, with tooth decay, is evil because they haven't considered the universe that they live in. That would bother me a little. And like I said, the religion thing, I can have that conversation at a bar. I mean, if you have a religion and I don't, and you don't hurt people, I don't really care quite as much.
Yeah.
It's really the anti-science stuff that gets me. And unfortunately, religion and pseudoscience go hand in hand, nigh constantly.
Yeah, but like we're seeing, there's a lot of pseudoscience and anti-science from the left that's, you know, from people who are either religious or non-religious. It's not exclusive.
Yeah.
Well, there's also, you know, conspiracy theories.
Right.
That really come along whenever you just go so far extreme. You just start getting into those
it's
thoughts.
Just the general distrust of science that bugs me. I mean, when we talk about vaccinations, the argument that we keep coming back to is about whether or not they cause autism. And the three of us know, science knows, everybody knows, they don't cause autism.
Right.
But I think there's a lot of people who distrust vaccines who have also kind of gotten past the autism thing, but they still distrust the vaccines.
Right.
I've talked to people who talk about how the levels of the disease were declining before there was a vaccine, and then the vaccine came along, and then they continued to decline afterwards. And therefore, the vaccine wasn't effective or wasn't necessary. So why do we still need the vaccine?
The unfortunate thing is, I think that people sort of like what's going on in California right now, where the whooping cough is spreading, and it hasn't in how long?
Yeah,
you know,
years.
I feel like this is the kind of stuff that has to happen for them to finally say, oh, we might be wrong about that.
Well, maybe they do work. Maybe,
yeah,
maybe we should give it a
second. It's funny that whenever
thought.
An entire population starts becoming, you know.
But I think what we need to be doing, and I'm not the person to do it because I don't have the background, but what scientists need to be doing is talking to people, not just saying you need to get a vaccine, but like explain this is what's in a vaccine. This is why it does what it does. This is how it does it.
Yeah.
This is why it's safe. This is how we tested it. And putting that information out there for people to understand, because I think that's what makes a lot of people wary, is they just don't know. And what they need to do is, rather than forcing it down people's throats to get it, tell them where it comes from, tell them why it's a good thing, and tell them how it works.
Right.
And not everyone's going to listen to that, but
yeah, it's really hard to get that. The thing is, that information requires reflection and thought and cogitation, and it's really hard to do that when you have Alex Jones over in the corner going, "Vaccines are made of mercury and cancer!" Ah! You know, And
well, some people are giving it thought. They are doing some research. They're looking online and they're just finding a lot of conflicting information.
But
and they're making a bad decision based on their own research.
As somebody who's trying to, counter the Alex Joneses of the world, sometimes by screaming myself, I've been known to do that. But for vaccines, screaming isn't going to help. They need the data. I mean, socially, this is a problem I contend with a lot. Socially, how do you get around how do you get around fear? Is really what it is.
Well, I think another thing is that they glorify naturalism.
Right.
That camp tends to say the more natural it is, the better it is for you. Like, they just equate the two as though you can't get sick from food that was that was organically grown. You know, like nothing happened to that.
Right.
But definitely there isn't going to be any contamination there. You know,
right.
Like they're just alluding.
Organic milk will still spoil. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
I actually discovered recently that I buy organic milk.
By accident?
Because we bought it like years ago, and I found that this particular brand didn't spoil quite as quickly. And it's because they have to like uber pasteurize it. They have to basically nuke it in order to make it safe to, you know, in order to make it FDA safe to drink. So everything's in it's dead, so it takes longer to spoil. That's not really what they sell. That's not really how they describe things when they describe things as organic. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be as unprocessed as possible. And I discovered that I like this particular organic milk because it's more processed. I mean, and I, sometimes if I'm...
It's organic, but it's extra pasteurized.
Yeah. Yeah,
I see.
It's more heavily processed. So we have some interesting questions from Sean from Tacoma, and I think we might just go around for a few of these. He just rapid-fired some of these questions. The first one is, what do you believe but cannot prove?
I'll take that one.
Okay, go for it.
You know, I have a 2-year-old, and there's new technology coming out all the time, and there's not a lot of information about it because it's new.
Right.
So I have to just kind of figure it out as I go along. Like, is this program going to help or hurt my child? I tend to use the iPad because it has amazing games. My 2-year-old can sight read dozens of words at this point. And he's 2. And it's from, you know, these apps and everything. And there's a lot of people who don't want children in front of screens and don't want this. And they think that it's bad for them. But I feel as though, and it's just a gut check, but whenever I watch my 2-year-old read, I'm like, I think there are benefits. I can't prove it. And there's no scientific thing backing me up, but I'm just going to do it. And there's a lot of that goes into raising a child. There's a lot of stuff that, what's right or wrong?
Right.
It's, you don't know, so you just got to figure it out and hope that you're right. You might be screwing them up, you know, but I feel like that I'm making the right call on that, but who knows?
How about you?
I bet you that most of the things that I believe are things that I cannot prove.
Yeah.
I'm speaking as a philosopher here. Like,
oh, right.
I believe that you have a mind, but I can't prove that.
Or that you exist.
I believe that you exist.
No, I am actually a philosophical zombie.
You are a philosophical
zombie.
Yeah,
I have no soul.
So, but I just, maybe it's metaphysical or existential that I believe lots of things that I don't know that I can prove.
Just the act of believing.
Well, I believe the sun's going to come up tomorrow morning, but I can't prove that until tomorrow morning when it turns out either it comes up or it doesn't. And I believe my car is going to start this afternoon, but
yeah.
I can't prove that.
From a strict empirical perspective, all of the science stuff that we talk about on the show, I cannot prove. I don't own a particle accelerator.
Yeah.
I don't own a gene lab. I don't own a spaceship. I don't own, you know, I'm not an astronomer. I'm not a bioengineer. I'm not an anthropologist. I'm not a physicist. So really, this bothers me sometimes. Most of what I believe, I can't prove. But that's why we have the scientific method.
Yeah.
Is the people who are experts have gone and done the exploration.
And even those experts, and I think we're using the word prove in a more colloquial, non-scientific sense, not the vast medical proof sense, because what we're really saying is, can you support with evidence? I don't have the evidence to support a lot of the scientific truths that I believe.
Right. But is there something kooky that I believe in that I can't prove? I don't know.
It probably is, and you don't think that it's kooky, because it's something you believe.
I believe that my son has an issue with citrus. His body does all kinds of horrible, horrible, horrible things when he has citrus in his system, but there are no medical tests that have ever been run. I mean, I have put him through the gamut of medical tests, and nothing has ever come back with any response whatsoever, and the doctors essentially have told me, well, just don't give him citrus.
You know,
they're like, well, you're the mom, so if that's what's happening, we believe you, continue on, you know, and it's funny to see the medical profession just like say, well, we throw our hands in the air. You got this. Or don't. I don't know.
I'll just give a little shout out to Dave and say that I believe that we will win.
Yeah, that's... okay, you know, when it comes to sports, I can't prove... I'm a Cubs fan. Come on. Well, okay, you know what? I do not believe in the singularity. The singularity concept, but I am kind of a transhumanist. I would like to have my brain in a computer and then go off into space. That would be nice. But I don't believe that when that happens, social order is going to be destroyed and it's going to be raised anew. It's you know, one day Palestinians and Israeli people are fighting in the Mideast, and then the next week it's going to be Israeli and Palestinian robots fighting in the Mideast. You're going to have to change human nature in order to do that. And I don't think the singularity is going to do it. You know, and so I don't believe it. That's one kooky thing that I might believe in. It's actually, I'm hoping to do an episode about it someday and say, somebody tell me I'm wrong and I'm kooky and whatever. You know how it goes. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to answer some more of Sean's questions and do a couple more emails.
I'm a certified ghost expert.
Wow, that's so credible.
Billy, your great-great-grandmother says she loves you, and to give me your lunch money.
Aw, anything for family. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled, week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I know.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran.
And we host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. We invite a rotating panel of our friends over to talk about science fiction, comic books, movies, horror, animation, professional wrestling, video games, and George freaking Lucas.
It's a warts and all look at popular geek culture, where we tip sacred cows and use profanity while arguing about children's entertainment.
Think of it as the McLaughlin Group for nerds.
Find us online at RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to askanatheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to paypal@askanatheist.tv.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Psst. Hey, I know that we all slip up sometimes, but not knowing your STD status at all, not a smart move. Did you know that STDs can even be transmitted through oral sex alone? Yeah, worried yet? With STDHomeTestKit.com, everything you need is shipped to you, where you'll have results in the comfort of your own home in less than 10 minutes. Be certain of your status with STDHomeTestKit.com.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show in the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 206-420-0997. And we're answering some rapid-fire questions from Sean. And it occurred to me that there was something that, yeah, I actually I believe and cannot prove, and it has to do with science. It's that I think psychology is misses more than it hits. And at some point, something will happen to psychology like quantum physics happened to physics, and then it'll look very different to us. And probably when we have a better model of what the brain does on a biological level. I have no way of proving that. The only way I can prove that is to have
check,
it happen.
Check your gut.
I was going to say, I kind of have that same gut feeling. That's predominantly incorrect or pseudoscience, but just that it's, out of all of the medicines, it seems to be the most evolving and most...
Yeah,
Most up for debate.
A lot of people, in my life, talking to people, a lot of people have seen me as sort of a critic of psychology. And yeah, I am occasionally critical of some things that psychology does. But let's be honest here. Astronomy has had, 5,000 years to go from astrology to what we have now? Psychology has only had, 150 years? And look how far they've gone. I think that's a good thing, not necessarily a bad thing. It's just we have to understand.
It's also an indication that they're still making progress. They're still figuring things out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is a problem, I think, especially when people use psychology as though it is as strong as any other scientific field. And they, for instance, my brother growing up was diagnosed ADHD, so they put him on this drug that has tongue hanging out of his mouth as though that was a that was acceptable.
Oh, I even
better.
Know which drug that is. Yeah, yeah.
Ritalin.
Yeah, okay.
That's what he had. And so, you know, watching that, I just look back and I think, well, he was an active, happy-go-lucky, really into life child, and then he became a zombie.
Well, psychology is bigger than just diagnosing everybody with something. I mean, there's right. neuropsychology, there's behavioral psych, there's social psych, and a lot of it is really backed by hard science. It's not all... my kid has ADHD, although from day-to-day perspective, that's almost of a C, but there's a lot more going on there. And that's why I say I'm not a critic, but I'm occasionally critical. But this leads into another question that he asks. And since you're a philosopher kind of guy, do you believe in free will?
I do. Yeah, absolutely.
You do? What's your basis for that?
I can't prove it.
you believe, but you can't prove.
Well, I have a very strictly materialistic sense of the world.
Right.
But I feel like there's a sense of randomness.
Yeah, there's a sense of chaos, for sure.
Chaos or randomness in the way things are made. Mm. And I don't think that every rotation of an atom is predetermined. I think there's an element of randomness. And I think that randomness cascades out into the molecules that those atoms make up and those beings that are made up of those molecules. And that somehow it translates to... I do have a sense of free will. I do make my own decisions, and it's not just because if we assume that we don't, then why do anything? Because anything that we do is what we were destined to do. So it just doesn't make any sense to live that way to me. But I feel like we absolutely have to in order for any of it to make any sense.
How about you?
I used to play a game to just like kind of explore chaos. Just a little bit. I would keep dice inside of my car and I'd drive around and I'm sorry. Every time that I would get to an intersection, I'd roll the dice and just see where I would go next. And I'd keep going and going and going. And then, you know, there were rules for if you get to an interstate, you have to take it. You roll at every exit. If you get a one or two, then you take the exit. If it's any other number, you keep going. And eventually you just end up somewhere and you go ahead and find something to do in that new place. And I just felt like it was random. I didn't choose where I went. I guess I did choose to roll the dice, but it was just nice to end up somewhere that I just, none of it was predetermined. I mean, it's just chance.
So do you feel like every other part of your life is
dictated
by the similar roll of the dice?
I just feel like there's chaos involved. Yeah. You know, like this was just a visual, you know, part of it. But
oddly enough, I don't. With an asterisk, though.
Okay.
Here's the thing, and this is I'm going to have to step out from behind the radio thing and be my full nerd for a minute. If the universe is deterministic and the brain is essentially a state machine, you know, it's just it holds a state. It holds a particular configuration of chemicals and electrical currents and stuff like that, and like a Turing machine, but not really. Then it follows that human behavior could be deterministically, determined, blah, blah, blah. You know, you could do some math or whatever and figure out that what somebody is going to do if you have enough data.
Are you saying that the exact state of your brain at any given time, plus a knowledge of the natural laws and orders of physics and whatnot, you can determine what the next natural state of that brain would be?
Yeah, if you can know the entire state of a situation, you know, an entire context, including the person in it, and determine the entire state, you should be able to accurately predict what happens next. And that seems to take out free will in a certain respect for me. But the amount
of that's true.
Information that is required in order to actually do that. I think what that means is it's effective free will, if not actual free will. It's a weird thing for me to say, but okay, here we are. Something that I believe it can't really prove. That's my working theory.
I think all of our answers are going to be that.
Yeah.
Just that.
But I don't know. I disagree with your premise that based on this state of affairs and the knowledge of the rules that we can determine the next state of affairs. I think that's where the element of randomness comes in.
Well,
I think that there's something random, something chaotic that prevents us from knowing the exact...
That would make science kind of hard to do, though, wouldn't it?
Science is kind of hard to do.
Well, I mean, eventually, it's like experiments, like gravity should fail at some point.
I think that human beings and the way that they behave is a lot more chaotic, though, than you know, dropping a ball and watching what happens.
Right.
I mean, there are rules.
Which
there
might be why psychology is so hard.
there are, you know, rules. There are, you know, two objects in space attract. Mm-hmm. And but I just think that whether they spin around each other vertically or horizontally might be an element of randomness.
Okay. I can see that. But yeah, this is, now we're getting into sort of stone teenager talk. another question is, when faced with difficult moral dilemmas, how do you decide what to do?
I usually put myself within the other person. I decide, because morality, you have to have more than one being involved, usually, I would assume. And I usually say, if I were them and I was viewing the situation, how would I want me to behave towards them? And that's usually where, because if it's really, really difficult, I'm going to defer to them. Like, what do you need me to do?
We actually have a call.
Okay.
And this is Travis from Seattle. How you doing today? Hello.
Hello, Travis.
Hello, Travis. Oh, boy. Okay. I guess we're having some problem there. All right. Well, we'll move on to... where would you like to see humanity in 500 years? Becca, what do you think?
Better off.
Better off.
I would like to see religion gone. I would really like to see that. I don't know what that would work. I don't know what it would look like. I feel as though it would be doing better.
Do you have a fundamental sense that we'd be better off without it? Or do you think people would just find a different thing to argue about?
I think that they would find things to argue about. I still think there'd be murder. I still think there'd be crime. I still think there'd be stupid people. I don't think that getting rid of religion will get rid of those things like I sometimes see other people postulate. But I do think that at least getting rid of this form of stupidity would leave us in a better place.
Would take us one step closer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this is something I've said a lot, is religion is the dogma that, or is the armor that dogma wears. It's once we get rid of religion, they're going to find, people who want to work that way are going to find something else to work that way about. And we'll stop fighting about religion, and we'll start fighting about the original series versus the next generation or something like that.
Well, I mean, we were speaking earlier about how, you know, we do gut checks. It's a human thing to kind of have to fight that instinct to look for the information. And I think that'll still be going on, just about different things.
But this is where my humanism comes in, is, you know, and this is where religion, I think, is most poisonous on a civilization level, is most religions consider the human race and human society degenerate and failing and just constantly falling apart. And the only thing that they can save them, that can save us, is Deus Ex Machina in the literal sense. And I don't believe that. I'm a humanist. I look at history, and I read a lot of history, and I see how crap things were and how things have improved as time goes on. You know, John Malthus thought we couldn't support 7 billion people on a planet. He thought we'd be eating each other by now, literally.
I think the more we know, the better off we've become.
Yeah, but we've had, you know, a lot of stuff happen with agriculture and a lot of stuff happen with science, and supporting 7 billion people isn't even particularly hard from the looks of it. You know, it looks like we could support a bunch more. Now we're understanding why that might not be a bad idea. So we're discovering some of the effects that we're having, which means in the future, we'll take that into account, too, and things will be even better. I don't like all this post-apocalyptic. Like, the world, I'm not as cynical as the rest of this world. I mean, I am cynical about politics. I'm cynical about a lot of things. I can be kind of a misanthrope now and again. But one thing I do believe, one thing I am optimistic about is the future of us. Is the future of people. It doesn't even have to be, you know, HSAP, just people. I think things are going to look a lot better. I think things are going to improve. I'd very much like to see us on other planets. I'd very much like to be on other planets. I have this idea of doing a bumper sticker for Ask an Atheist or something that says I'd rather be a subsistence farmer on Venus. Because, yeah, kind of.
That'd be tough.
But I am a humanist, and this is where it comes in, is I think we're all becoming more sensitive to each other, more aware of each other. We're becoming more aware of our environment. We're becoming more aware of what makes us go, and things are getting better. I mean, we all complain about war, but let's look at the death tolls talked about on the news in the last 10 years versus the Vietnam era, versus World War II, mm-hmm. versus, like, as we get better, we don't want to see people die, mm-hmm. where before we didn't care. And maybe not so much. The Romans certainly didn't care about killing a bunch of people to get their point across. But it's going to be up and down. I'm not going to say it's going to be a unceasing exponential curve into the future. But I'm optimistic.
Well, what I was going to say is that where I would like to see humanity in 500 years is people. I would like to see people being less selfish.
Okay,
and it goes into a lot of what you were saying. And I think it. Like, in order to feed the entire population of the world, we're going to have to be willing to share with the countries and with the people who don't have the means for their own production and don't have the means to be productive in a lot of ways.
Mm. Well, we're going to have to get rid of putting lack of empathy on such a high pedestal.
That's true. We have to be... Empathy is important, and that's, you know, it's in the Humanist Manifesto, and I think it's I think having religion kind of blocks empathy sometimes. This is where it ties into asking religion.
Puts you into a category, and it makes you really focused on the other people in your category and protecting them and being very tribalistic.
Well, you book check instead of actually listening to the person.
Right.
Like, do you fall in line with all of the things that I believe?
Yeah. Well, that's all the time we've got for today. My name was Sam Olvey. With me was Becca and Mike Warbington. Thank you guys very much. My call screener was Becky, the other one. My production assistant is Nick. You can go to askanatheist.tv. Give us a voicemail at 206-420-0997. Email us at questions@askanatheist.tv. I think post show's at Doyle's. We'll see you guys next week.